First Samuel. You know what? I forgot to bring my whole paper. All of my papers, I forgot to bring it. But that's all right, we'll go off the cuff. I got that. First Samuel. I told you I was going to tell you about why the ark flew. But, you know, I was thinking this week, I'm reading through Judges, and I was thinking about what Gideon's dad said. Gideon tore down the prophet of Baal, their groves and all that stuff. He tore it all down. God told him to do it. God said, tear all that grove down. And he did. So where did I say to turn? First Samuel, oh yeah. And Gideon tears it all down, and we'll look at that in a minute. But look in 1 Samuel and look at chapter 4. We talked about Shiloh. Shiloh was a place where the tabernacle was set up. The tabernacle was a mobile unit. The temple is a permanent unit. Now the temple is destroyed. They got the Dome of Omar sitting on top of where the temple was, and that needs to be. I was telling the Israeli soldier over there, I said, they need to tear that down before the temple can be built. And he says, they'll have no problem with that. And I thought, oh, yes, they will. They'll have a big problem. You'll cause World War III. But in 1 Samuel 3, go back to Jehovah 4 and look at 1 Samuel 3 and look at verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Shiloh was the place. And later on, you'll find Shiloh is abandoned and Jerusalem is taken up as the place to worship. And you find a woman at the well. She says, we're told to worship here. That was in Shiloh. She said, we're told to worship, but you all say in Jerusalem. And, you know, we know the Lord's going to come back and reign in Jerusalem. We know that. But here, the Ark of the Covenant is brought in. They're fighting the Philistines. They lose 4,000 men. And then they bring the Ark of the Covenant in, and then they start shouting because the Ark of the Covenant comes in, and the Philistines said, man, we're dead, man. We're dead. And they were putting their confidence in the Ark rather than in the God of the Ark. And that's what a lot of Christians do today. They put more confidence in a statue. They put more confidence in a piece of furniture than they do the real, true God. And they start trusting in, like I've talked to people, I've witnessed people, and I'll say, are you saved? And they'll take a cross. They got around their neck. And they say, look, they'll show me the cross. I said, yeah, what's that? That's a cross. Am I saved? They show me a cross. I said, what does that mean? Everybody wears a cross. I mean, not everybody. I don't wear a chain around my neck. It's been from the past. I don't wear chains. I don't wear a necklace, none of that stuff. Because I knew whenever you got in a fight, that's the first thing somebody go for and choke the snot out of you. But 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Philistines, look at verse 7. The Philistines were afraid. Why? Because they saw that with that ark, when they let out that ark, they seen what happened. They seen how Israel advanced with the Ark of Covenant, walking out there with the Levites in front of them. But God pulled a fast one on them. The Lord really pulled fast. You know what the Lord did? He left them hanging. The Lord left them hanging. And they bring the Ark of the Covenant in. The Bible says they shouted. The Hebrews started shouting, and the camp, the ground shook. They were shouting, we got the Ark! And God said, you ain't got me, though. You ain't got me. And the Philistines, look at this, verse 6. Or back at verse 5. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that their earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. Now, they saw when the Ark of the Covenant, when that thing was in front of Israel in the tabernacle, when they crossed the Red Sea, when they crossed the Jordan River, and they didn't have it at the Red Sea. Moses just took his rod and touched the water. But when they got to the Jordan River, they crossed over. They seen Jericho. They marched around Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they seven times, and they shouted. Man, the walls came down. But look what happens. The Lord let them hang out to dry here. And woe unto us, for who shall deliver us, verse 8, out of the hand of this mighty gods? These are the gods that made, that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. God did. He smote the Egyptians. I mean, the Lord used nature to wipe out a whole country. You know what? You know what I find? I find God can do whatever he wants to do when it's needed. When it's needed. And you find, take your Bible, hold your place there. Take your Bible, look back into Joshua. Look at this. Look in Joshua. Joshua gets in a battle. In the book of Joshua, look at Joshua chapter, 10? Joshua 10? Look in Joshua 10. Joshua's in charge now, and he comes out, and he's the man to deal with. And then in Joshua chapter 10, look at this. It came to pass when Adonai Bezek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it, and he had done to Jericho and her king, so that he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city. And look on down to verse 5. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, king of the Jerusalem, king of Hebron, notice Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, and the king of Ladish, and the king of Eklon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servant. Come up to us quickly. Save us. Help us. All the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, fear them not, for I will deliver them into thine hand, for there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came and unto them suddenly, and went up into Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them among the way that goeth up to Beth Horam, and smote them at Ashniah, and on the Micaiah, I didn't say that right, I'm sure. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, that they were in going down to Beth Horam, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. You talking about, Jesus said, he that without sin cast the first stone. God cast a stone. The Lord cast a stone down. And they were more that died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. God's up in heaven saying, they're getting away, Joshua. They're getting away. Hey, angels, cast some stones down on them. If the Lord wants to take care of something, he'll take care of them. And you find in your Bible in Revelation, we read about miracles where God chooses to heal people. God chooses in the book of Matthew, Luke, and John and Mark, you find the Lord chooses to heal certain people and some people he don't. You find the Lord chooses in the book of Daniel to deliver some people and some people he don't. But here, he's helping Joshua out because people are getting away. The Amorites, he says, and we need to wipe them out. And the Lord cast down stones on them. And look in Judges. I wouldn't give you a cent for a God that can't take care of his own problems. And the Lord's going to take care of some problems. You say, why is that? Because the people hate God. And they turn their back on him. You know what? When the Lord comes back in Revelation 19, when he comes back to fight, people say, oh, that's kind of cruel. He's going to wipe out 200 million men in the Valley of Megiddo. That's 200 million men to hate God. And God's given them chance after chance after chance to come to him. People hate God. Look at America, man. You wonder, what in the world's going on with our government? People hate God. Get the Bible out of here. Get prayer out of here. Let's say it's a woman. Let's pray in the name of a woman. Spit in God's face. What you're saying, we will make up our own God, how we want him. He's going to be like a genie to do whatever we tell him, whenever we tell him. God said, that ain't the way it works. That ain't the way it's going to work. And look what Gibeon, or Gideon's father says to the bunch of Baalites. You know what Baalites are? That goes all the way back. That's where the Catholic Church got their teaching from. The Catholic Church, that's where they're called, really, in the New Testament, you'd call them Baalites. They walk around in black. They worship a deity of a female deity. They say, that, oh, we don't do that. Yes, they do. They tell you you got to pray to Mary before you can talk to Jesus. You got to go through Mary to get to Jesus. So they're Baalites. That's where the whole thing came from, Baal. And Baal's been around for a long time, Baalites have. And when Rome, when Constantine said, I'm a Christian now, he already had Baal worship, and he just mixed it in with a little bit of Christianity. So when the real Christians in that day in the book of Acts, they knew that was, man, went through 300 A.D., they knew that wasn't Christianity. That was a mixture. What the world wants to do is take a little bit of this religion. You find people come back, guys came back from Vietnam. They come back from Vietnam, they want to be a Buddhist, and they want to be an Indian, worship like an Indian. They want to do this, they want to smoke a peace pipe. They want to adopt everybody's religion, and we'll make it all one. You don't do that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's only one way. It's God's way. And what the world wants to do, they want to tie it all together, all religions. Well, let's all get along. That's a one world government, one world religion. So when the Antichrist shows up, he's going to be, I'm your brother. I'm your brother. I'm your brother. All religions, we're all brothers. Let's bring us all together. So look what happened. I like what Gideon's dad says. Look in Judges chapter 6. And look at God tells Gideon to cast down Baal. Cast him down. Let's see over here. An angel of the Lord appeared on him, verse 12, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, Gideon turned unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? So, excuse me, he goes on down. And Gideon, the angel tells him, you're a mighty man. So look at verse 25. It came to pass the same night. The Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of the 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. So anytime you see a statue of Mary, they always got a grove around it, a little grove. There's a little thing that they can go out there and pray to or talk to or make it pretty. And that's the way Buddhism is. That's the way all these religions. Isn't it something they have a God? I'll never forget a missionary. I was in Tabernacle Baptist College, and a missionary came in there, and he was telling a story. He said this. He said when he was a missionary, and I think it was in, it was either somewhere in the East, in Asia, somewhere in Asia. And where they worship Buddha. And he said he was trying to convince this man that, that these are idols. These statues you have are idols. So, and he said he couldn't convince the guy. The guy, he's telling him about Jesus Christ. He said, well, I'll just take Jesus Christ, too. I'll take him, too. We have a statue of Jesus. We'll make a statue of Jesus. He said, no. I'm trying to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. He's God. You don't have to have a statue of him. And so, to make a long story short, this missionary said, this guy's hut caught on fire. And while he came running to try to help him put the fire out, he was sitting out there with his son. He says, where's our statue? And it was Buddha. He went to run back into the hut to try to get the statue. And he grabbed him, and he pulled him back, and he looked him in the eye. He says, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I've got a God that delivers me. I don't have to deliver him. And this is what Gideon's dad's saying right here. I've got a God that can deliver me. And I tell you, if my God can't deliver me or answer my prayer, then chuck him. But my God answers prayer. He delivers you. If he wants to do that, he can do whatever he wants. Look at here. So he says, And he built an altar unto the Lord, verse 26, thy God upon the top of the rock, upon this rock, in the order place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the grove that thou shalt cut down. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. So it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning And behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. And the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die. Kill him for cutting down our grove, for doing away with our God. We're going to kill him. You know, that's what religion does. When they can't dispute you or they can't defeat you, they'll kill you. That's what the Catholic Church has done for hundreds and hundreds of years. That's what Islam does. That's what all these other, and you know, you say, well, Christianity, that when people start saying, well, Christianity did the same thing. No, it's the Catholic Church. When they say Christianity, they're talking about the Catholic Church. You know what Jesus said? Put up your sword. They that live by the sword should die by the sword. Christians went to deliver people, to save folks. Real Christians I'm talking about. Not Christians that's carrying a cross around their neck and walking out in front with beads. And verse 29, they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. And they said, bring him out that he die. And because he had cast down the altar of Baal, because he had cut down the grove that was by it, and Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? I like that. He said, will you save him? You talking about somebody cut, here's a Baal worshiper, a guy who had his own grove, had his own Baal, you know, statue. He said, he that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself. Because one hath cast down his altar, therefore on that day he called Jerubbaal. So that's what I'm saying, man. We got a God that's able to answer prayer, and if he chooses to deliver us, he's done it time and time again for his children. He did it for Esther and Mordecai. He did it all the way through your Bible. You'll find the Lord sent out an angel one night because there was no other way. Hezekiah crying and praying, saying, God, help. Help, Lord. You know, I find where a lot of Christians don't see God moving is because they don't call on him. They don't seek him. They don't say, Lord, I need you now. Instead of waiting, they go out and make a mess out of it. You got to wait on the Lord. I know when I prayed, I said, God, we need a bigger place. Will you do something, please? I didn't know he was going to do it that way. Burnt down. And he delivered. He did it. So all the way through your Bible, you'll find the Lord delivering people in mighty ways. But they got to step out. And you find the Lord taking care of matters when he chooses. Over in the First Kings, you'll find the Lord praying, Hezekiah praying, and man, God sent out an angel, 185,000 army of Assyrians wiped out, 185,000. You know what I believe? I believe there's going to be some miraculous things going on in the tribulation with Israel. I believe there's going to be miraculous. I was listening to a guy one time, and he was in the Six-Day War. And this guy was like, you know, his name was Jones. That's where they made the movie Indiana Jones. This guy's name's Jones. He was in Israel. He was digging for artifacts and stuff. And the Six-Day War broke out. And he said he was there, and he said he was went out with them. And, you know, being a, I guess you call it a, not a spy, but he was, what do you call him, a lookout. And he was out, he told the story how he said Israel, the Israeli tanks had one tank running, came out, there's 10 tanks of Egypt, Syria, and everything surrounded him. He said, and the tank commander went down into his tank and thought, well, they're going to take us out, we might as well get one off. And he fired one shot, the terrapin on top of the tank was blown off. A couple of the men was wounded badly, and that tank commander came up out of there, out of the smoke, and he said he looked, and he said all the 10 tanks that were surrounding him, every one of them was blown up. He said one shot took out 10. He said, how'd that happen? They don't know. He said, man, you talking about God was in the middle of that Six-Day War. Yeah. He said he was there. He said there was Israeli soldiers testifying. They were in a bunker, or not a bunker, but they was in a trench firing. They fired their last shots. Ran out of bullets. They started throwing rocks. He said Egyptian soldiers came up, stood over them with their machine guns, and dropped dead. He said they just stood there and they dropped dead. And he said they grabbed their machine guns and kept firing. He said, all these miracles happened. That's why it only took 6 days. He said, man, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, they started running. They started saying something supernatural is going on here. When God chooses, he'll do it. You know, in the tribulation, we know there's going to be some miracles taking place. You know what? I believe this. I believe God's going to feed the children of Israel like he did in the wilderness. He's going to drop manna down from heaven. There's a verse I can show you that'll blow your mind, talking about how he's going to hit the dragon, and there's going to be flakes coming off of him. That's going to be something else. I'll show it to you. But you think about Jesus fighting for you on the cross. He came to die. He came to give up himself. He did all the fighting for us. You know what he did with the children of Israel? He did all the fighting in Egypt. The 10 plagues, he did it. They crossed over the Red Sea. He said, Moses, just touch it. He wanted them involved. Moses, touch the water. Watch what happens. God put up a cloud, and then he put a fire at night. And the Bible says he looked out of the fire. And then he convinced them. I'll tell you what, you think about it, folks. If you was the Egyptian soldier, saw a couple million people go through the Red Sea, and you knew that, how in the world could that be dry? That was something supernatural going on. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh says, let's go after him. If that was me, I think I'd fall off the chariot and say, hey, I think I hurt my leg. I can't go in there. But they all go in. He destroys the greatest army in the world by water. The Lord chooses to do something. And you will find in your Bible in Revelation chapter 19, when he comes back. You said, I've had people say, well, God sounds like it's kind of cruel way. No, these people hate God. They hate God, folks. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And they turned the creature into a, you know, trying to make it the creator out of a creature. They worship, you got Americans, they worship, you know, you'll go to jail for killing an animal. But kill that baby right when it's born and slit his throat. And it's not murder. Or commit, you know, go up with something and destroy that child in the womb. I'm telling you, man, people hate God. And, you know, all kinds of crazy laws they're trying to pass and all that stuff. It's going to come, we're going to see it a lot worse. We're going to see it a lot worse. So you got a nation of people that the Lord says, okay, even Israel turned their back on him. You read through the book of Judges. God raises up a judge, and he delivers them out of the hand of the enemy. And all of a sudden, after he dies, they all go right back to the same old stuff, worshiping Baal. So, and you say, well, them dirty, rotten dogs, you got to watch yourself on a daily basis, because we're prone to wander, man. Prone to leave the God we love. There's Christians right tonight. I mean, if everybody was on the same page, Christians, I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians, everybody was on the same page and started praying, brother, we'd see some things happening. You know what? We don't see much of happening because people don't believe God. We don't believe God. Man, all right, take your Bible, back to 1 Samuel. Go back to 1 Samuel. I love this. I love this thing. Us guys, we like reading about war. You know, you see, you know. And like this guy was saying to me, what made me think about this Ugandan saying, there's a lot of innocent. I said, a lot of innocent people, but a lot of innocent people suffer for the sins of their father and their mother. You think about being born in a communist country. But see, if a person, when my brother was killed, I went outside, I mean, I was drunk, messed up on some stuff. And I remember going outside, and I meant it. I said, God, if you're up there, you blankety blank, I want to know. And I meant it. I said, even a little child, if they cry out to God, even if they're in Pakistan, Afghanistan, no matter, if they cry out, God, I want to know the truth. You know, I said, God's obligated to give it to them. It's up to them whether they accept it. It's up to them. We had Mrs. White that was here, Mrs. White. She's a Palestinian. She's a Palestinian. Her husband is a Jew. And she said they had her, I'm trying to remember how the story went, but she gave her testimony. But she was in Beirut. He was a Marine stationed in Beirut at the embassy. And she ran, she was running, and they were there was war going on in Beirut. And she ran to the embassy, and he let her in. He let her in, but he wasn't supposed to, because she said she had to go to the bathroom. So he kind of, her husband, and now, he looked around, and he let her go, and then she was in there for an hour. And he went and beat on the door. He says, you got to get out of here. You got to get out of here. He could lose, you know, he could be court-martialed for it in Beirut. And he said, he beat on the door, and she come out, and he says, what were you doing? You got to get out of here. And she said, I saw the bathtub. I haven't taken a bath in a year. I just wanted to take a bath. My. And she said they had her. She was 16 years old. They had her in a barracks and told her she had to be a suicide bomber. She was. He said, you were raised for that, to be a suicide bomber. And they told her in the barracks, they said, she said, I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. And they said, if you don't, we'll be back. They kept the guard there. And they said, when we come back, if you won't submit, I'm going to bring all these troops back. They're going to rape you, and we'll beat you to death. And she said, she cried out to God. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Oh, God. And she got crying so bad that the guard released her. And she said she ran out of the building and ran down the road. She was running down the road as the Jeeps were coming in a two-ton truck, a troop carrier coming down, and they started firing at her because she was running. That's where she ended up running to the embassy again. And that's how they end up meeting each other. They got married, and they went to Israel as a missionary. Like I said, God's got people all over, man. I believe I got the story right, but I can't remember all the whole story, but she came here, gave her testimony. So we just got this brother going to Pakistan. We're going to be with us. I want to hear his story. He said he got saved 2013. Now, and he works at a bank. He says, I know I got a real comfortable job. Everything's good. But I know God put a calling on me. I got to do it. That's good stuff, man. Want to get behind people like that. Amen. All right, we're going to stop right there. I wanted to go back.